What is up, guys? Welcome to the Wise and Well podcast. I am your host, Herman Lin, and today is another installment in the monthly Coach's Corner series where Sarah Clark, another fellow coach and friend, and I get together and we just give you guys some valuable, simple fitness and nutrition tips each month. So today we're going to be talking about 5 tips to improve your holiday eating and fitness, which is a really hot topic right now. Go figure. But if you guys are enjoying this series, please let us know. Sarah and I have a lot of fun talking to each other, and we hope that you guys get a lot of valuable information out of it. So if there's anything that you guys want to hear an episode on in the future, leave a great review, put it in the comments, or just DM us. We are always willing to help and chat. All right, enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sarah Clark Podcast. Today's another episode of the Coach's Corner with Herman Lin. If you haven't listened yet to some of the past episodes, basically Herman and I got together and we're like, hey, it's really easy for us to conversate. We relate on a lot of similar topics. So today we're coming together to talk about another topic. But first off, Herman, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. This is These are always so nice because I feel like these are the easy ones to just sit here and get to chat instead of having to like think about like, oh, what am I going to talk to them about? So I'm excited for this.
Yeah. Herman and I just hopped on like the studio that we record on. It was just like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. Where a lot of the times when you hop on a podcast, you got to explain like, okay, this is how it works. And when we stop, like, don't leave yet, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, all right, let's go.
Super easy. I do want people to know that it's not that we're just like throwing this on together, just improvising. We spent like an hour on the phone the other day talking about this, and then we both got on here and forgot everything we talked about. So
it's also, I don't know, maybe it's not 11:30 isn't early for you, but 10:30 is pretty early for me recording wise. Usually I record in the afternoon. So for me, I'm like, all right, get it together, Sarah. Let's go.
I'm sure you'll do great.
But how are you doing? How's life? Little quick update.
I'm good. I'm good, man. It's that time of year. I feel like it's getting darker. It's getting colder, especially up in Wisconsin. And I feel like as soon as November hits, it's like everyone starts losing their minds a little bit.
Yeah.
So the next couple of months, I feel like it's like always the same thing. You kind of go crazy the next couple of months, and then like Christmas time comes around and you kind of like, you know, have like a little kumbaya and remember what everything's about, and then you start the year over. So we're just heading into that part now. How about you?
I feel like honestly pretty similar. Today's the first day that since I've been back in Utah, it's the first day that it's rained, and now it's rain in the valley, snowing in the mountains. And so that's kind of felt like, oh man, it's coming. And kind of relating to you, I think the first couple of months of winter is just kind of brutal. Like it's rain, it's a little bit of slush. And then once Christmas comes, it's like, oh, this is beautiful. All the lights, it's snowy. Yeah. And then the snow gets dirty and you're like, man, this sucks. We want spring already. But Wisconsin's, their winter is pretty brutal, isn't it?
I mean, it's hit or miss. It really depends on the season. Like sometimes it's hard to know if like the snow or the cold is worse. You know, but it's one of those things where like you walk outside and it's like you start bundling up, you know, every time you have to take the dog for a walk, I'm like, I'm putting on the coat and I'm putting on the hat and the gloves. And there's like part of me that I go outside and I'm like, oh man, like it's cold already and it hurts my face. And then part of me is like, dude, you have like 5 more months of this, get rid of that right now. So I think at the very least, like it does make us more resilient
for sure.
You kind of have to have this like hardened attitude of like, you're not going to survive if you think this is cold right now. Right. So it'll be fine. I think it's just readjusting.
Yeah. And we have to do it every single year. I was telling my husband the other day, we were out for a walk, and I think that I actually don't mind walking in the snow. I think it's really beautiful. I think it's like super peaceful as well. But something about like walking in the rain when it's dirty and it's kind of muddy, it's a little bit more miserable. But I think, same thing goes where just kind of have to live with it and make the most out of it and make the fun out of it, which is easier said than done.
Yeah. I am now a neon vest guy.
No, really? That's smart. That's actually smart.
It is smart. And it's weird because it's like, I'm 33 years old and it took me this long to not be embarrassed to wear a neon vest, which is crazy.
Totally.
It's like pitch black outside. And before I would just be like, I'm not wearing one of those things. And I'm like, okay, why would you not do that? You know,
for sure.
Actually, some guy like pulled up in his car and like stopped and was like, thank you for wearing that. I was like, thank you for stopping and telling me that.
Yeah. Thanks for telling me that. Give me the reassurance. I actually think it's really smart because, and obviously this is not our topic today, but, and this is also not me trying to make this all sound really, really sad, but, I think that's really smart because a girl in this, right, like in, it's called Vineyard. I live in, or anyways, it's this city in Utah. 17-year-old girl just got hit by a car and died. And it's like so like on the side of the road and it like literally breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And obviously I don't really know the situation of what happened. But I think that, I mean, taking more precaution, wearing the vest, making sure people can see you.
It's terrible. I mean, you can totally see how it happens, you know?
Yeah.
So totally. Wear a vest.
All right. Well, now let's move on to the topic. And now I'm feeling sad. So let's move. It made me think of that. I'm like, oh, I feel sad. She seemed like a sweet girl. But anyways, okay, moving on. Anyways, so today I'm just called you Hunter, my husband. Today Herman and I both start with an H, wanted to talk about how to maintain and kind of how to get into like, the right mindset or like how to maintain your goals, how to maintain your fitness during the holidays. Mm-hmm. We have 5 tips that we want to share with you guys. We're going to go through every single one. We're going to try and make it a little bit more like, okay, this is tip 1, tip 2, tip 3, tip 4, tip 5. Sometimes, Herman and I are really good at rambling and then taking a tip and like adding another tip to it. So we're going to, do our best to keep this as concise and make the most sense as possible. But anything you wanted to add to that, Herman?
No, I think the thing I was going to say kind of is part of the first tip. So I think let's just dive right into it.
Yeah. The first tip that we have on how to navigate the holidays while having fitness goals, health goals, staying fit, healthy, maintain your goals, whatever that looks like, is first just setting realistic goals. And what we mean by that is a lot of times people will come into the holidays and they'll say, oh, I'm going to keep losing weight, or I'm going to stay in a cut, or I'm going to be really strict this winter, or I'm going to be really good during the Christmas holidays and not eat X, Y, and Z. And for a lot of people, that's really unrealistic. And so I think the first tip we have is just setting realistic goals for you that, one, help you to maintain your goals, but also in a realistic way where you can still enjoy the fun and the food, and the spirit that the holidays give. And on top of that, I think it's also important to mention with setting realistic goals, how a goal to just maintain during the holidays is a really great goal and a huge success for a lot of people.
I completely agree. This is one of those things that I think, you know, unfortunately it sets us up for failure a lot of the times when we head into holidays, because what we don't really realize is that, you know, when you think about like weight gain or losing weight or all those things, like it doesn't, you know, if anyone thinks about it, it doesn't happen overnight, right?
Yeah.
What happens most of the time is that most people will pretty much stay the same, like 10 months of the year, you know, January to October, maybe even lose a little bit of weight here and there. But then in November and December, all the holiday parties start, right? It's like we just talked about, it gets darker, it gets colder. So you're walking less. All these little things kind of start adding up, and you know, you might gain a couple pounds. And what happens with most people is that over time, over the years, that just starts to add up. And like most people that I work with who say, oh yeah, you know, I want to lose a little bit of fat, I want to get back to a healthier place, they're like, this is something that I, you know, just over the years, it just kind of got away from me. Without even realizing, it was like one day they just looked in the mirror or had a health scare at the doctor and were like, wow, how did that happen? And that's it. So I think to that point, part of it is like understanding that maintenance sometimes is a win in general.
Totally.
right? Like there's nothing wrong with heading into, well, first off, if you head into the holidays and your goal is fat loss, you got a certain type of crazy in the first place, right? Cause that's hard. It's hard. The reality is like food is, you know, I think let's get rid of this notion that food is just fuel. No.
Yeah.
Like food is way more than that. There's, you know, there's a reason why we celebrate with it and have traditions with it. And, you know, you go to holiday parties and family events and all these things, and there's food everywhere. So I think part of that is learning how to navigate it without like having to just control every single second of every single day as you go through all these things, because the reality is like, that's not what the holiday should be about.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that a lot of people treat the holidays as all or nothing, in an all or nothing way too, of like, you know, if they see the scale go up 2 pounds and it's like, well, screw it, I already gained weight anyway, so I might as well just wait till the beginning of the year. Hmm. Where I think there's a story that a lot of people tell themselves too, where it's like, I just gain weight during the holidays. That's just what happens to me. And so mm-hmm. they almost make that the story their excuse of like, that's just who I am. I just, whatever. And I'd encourage anyone who has that story to like, that does not have to be your story. Now, what people think is like, okay, but if I don't have that story, that means that I have to be super strict and that I can't eat the cookies and I can't eat the delicious cinnamon rolls that my grandma makes Christmas morning. It's like, no, you can. It's about changing your perspective and realizing that you can enjoy some of those things in moderation, and still maintain your fitness goals. And I encourage like anyone who is listening to this is, this next year, something that could help you during the holidays is practicing maintenance during the year, so that when the holidays come around, you kind of have an idea of what that looks like and what the flexibility looks like. But if you've never practiced maintenance and you've always been in a cut the entire year, and now you're coming to the holidays like, I don't even know how to maintain, I could see why it'd feel really hard. I'd still encourage to be in a maintenance, but take this as an opportunity or like a learning lesson, like, hey, maybe during the year this year, I'm going to intentionally be in maintenance. So when the holidays do come around, I kind of already have that skill drilled down. So holidays don't feel as scary, or I don't have to believe this. I don't have to hold this story anymore that I just gain weight during the holidays, or I just lose all my progress.
Yeah. It's like you're giving yourself permission to do it, right? Without having to feel bad about it. And I think to your original point of, you know, creating realistic goals and avoiding that all or nothing, I think part of this is also have a realistic goal of what January is going to actually look like.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's, and I did this for years, you know, like I wouldn't work out at all in November, December, because in my head, when January first came around, I was working out every day. It was like this was it, man. So it's like, it's okay. You know, like have your time right now, because when that new year rolls around, it's going down. And the reality is like, it never looks like that for very long, right? Because it's not sustainable. And so when we make up these stories in our head, it's just giving us permission to delay the inevitable. And so I think instead of having this all or nothing mentality, it's learning how to ebb and flow intensity. And I think when we look at it, it's like, think about when you're driving a car, right? And you're coming up to a red light. Is it the smart thing to just hit the gas as fast as you possibly can and slam on the brakes last second, right? Like that's never going to be a good strategy, versus just kind of easing on the brakes, you know, coming back down. And that's the thing during the holiday, right? Maybe your workouts are not going to be as good as they are the rest of the year, or you're not going to get as many of them in as you do, you know, in April. That's okay, right? Maybe the foods you eat, maybe you eat a little bit more of those barbecue meatballs at the party or whatever it is, you know, maybe there's buffalo chicken dip everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And all right, that's like kryptonite, right?
And buffalo chicken's been like my number one pregnancy craving. So like, that just sounded so good.
but you know, those are the things that it's like, hey, it's okay if it's a little bit off from how it is the rest of the year, but it doesn't need to be this all or nothing, you know, complete wash of a 2 months.
Yeah. I think I heard this quote one time that I love, love, love. And along with setting realistic goals, it's about pivoting and not quitting, where I think a lot of people come to the holidays and they just quit. They just stop. They're just done. It's too hard. It's too hard to figure it out. It's too hard to figure out how to adjust their goals. So they just quit. And then they start again on, you know, in January, where I think make, you know, treat this holiday as an opportunity to change that story for yourself. And instead of quitting, pivoting. And pivoting is still great. So a lot, I think a lot of people are like, you know, one workout a week isn't good enough. So I'm just not going to work out at all. It's like, no, one workout a week is great. And I think we can just can lead into the second tip that we have is during these holidays, still prioritizing movement, no matter what that looks like. Planning what your move, and also with that, like planning what your movement's going to look like, whether that's, you know, if you work out 5 times a week right now or 4 times a week, and that feels really overwhelming during the holidays, maybe that looks like working out 1 or 2 times. Or maybe that looks like just setting a step goal this winter and making sure you're getting movement in via steps. Or maybe that looks like skiing every so often. I know in Utah, a lot of people ski here, and I would say skiing, skiing can definitely be a workout. It's tiring. So planning out what your movement's going to look like and making that pivot rather than just stopping it altogether.
Yeah. And this, and kind of tying in the first point, the second point, it's these, this idea of having a minimum effective dose, right?
Yeah.
So what does it take to, like we said, simply to just maintain what you've already done? Well, from a strength training perspective, if that's what you're doing, you don't need much to maintain at all. You need like 1/7 to 1/9 of the volume to maintain the progress you've built. So that looks like 1 to 2 hours, maybe a week of strength training. And I'm not saying like, just commit and say, I'm only going to do that. You know, that's it. But just commit to, hey, if I do that, it's a win, right? Yeah. But it's a success. Cause I think people say, I'm still going to continue working out 3 days a week. And then when they get to win, they feel like a failure. Well, no, you're fine. Maybe you didn't go up a step, but at least you stayed on the same step, right? Which is an important piece in the same way with, you know, I think in general, just give yourself, what is my minimum effective dose that I'm going to call a win? So maybe that's 1 strength training workout a week. Maybe that is, I'm going to walk either outside or on a treadmill for 30, you know, even say 20 minutes a day, whatever it is, right? Pick kind of like these non-negotiables that if I do this, it's a win, and pick the thing that you're like, I'm 110% going to be able to do at least that. Right. Yeah. And then everything else on top of that is just gravy.
Yeah. It should feel easy. And I know that my brain would act this way. And so for anyone who would also think this too is like, oh, but it's not good enough. Like 2 workouts isn't good enough. 20 minutes of walking a day isn't good enough. And I'd encourage that person to think about the past holidays and say, well, what happened last holidays? You know, how can we, and what is good enough, and how can we change the story of what is good enough? You know, why is, because and there is no such thing as a definition for good enough. That's something that we have created in our minds. So if you want to create 2 workouts a week or 1 workout a week or a 20 minute walk good enough, you can do that. It's all about just shifting your perspective around that.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, though.
It is way easier said than done. But this is one of those things that, you know, when we were talking on our call, like I had kind of brought this up. Like I've been in corporate retail for a long time, right? And we know more than anyone this idea of like comping last year and looking at time frames as you kind of move through. And like I said, I would never compare November, December, Black Friday, holiday, like these time frames, right, to sales that happen in March. That makes no sense. Right. I would look at last year's November and December and last year's Black Friday. And I think we could use the same concept in fitness, right? Like I think of holidays. I also think of this for like weekdays and weekends. Like people go to each weekend and compare their lifestyle to the weekday. And so they're like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit. Right. And it's like, well, no, hold on. How do your weekends look versus how they looked a year ago? Right. Have you made progress on that? Because if you're making progress on the weekend versus the weekend and the weekday versus the weekday, on average, you're making progress, right?
Totally.
And I think we look at the holidays the same way, that don't compare this to like, what did your schedule and your fitness routine and your diet look like in August? Compare it to last holiday, right? And I did this with like, I think drinking is a perfect example for me. Like When I was in college, I drank like a fish. Like that's just the reality. And over time, throughout my 20s, it became one of those things that almost every single year it was like less and less and less, because I was like, this is not serving me the way it used to, right? Like it used to be like a social lubricant. And I still like, look, I still love espresso martinis and I still love, you know, enjoying a drink every now and then, but it's just so different than what it used to be. And that's one of those things during the holidays. It was like, you know, that was a time where I would get together my friends from high school and, you know, family time, and my family's Russian. So there's no shortage of booze there. And it was all these things that like, it was so centered around that, but I kept looking and saying, all right, you know what, during this time, like I drank more than I usually do, but I drank a lot less than last holiday.
Yeah.
Right. And over time, it's like, it kind of kept diminishing, diminishing and diminishing. And so I think that's like an important thing, because in my head, it was like, I'm still making progress. Right. And I think the same thing could be applied for food. The same thing could be applied for fitness. Like if you never work out in December and now you're working out once a week, that is progress, right?
Totally. I totally agree with you. I think it all just comes with working on, something that's worked for me is just like viewing, and I've already said this, but one, I agree with you, like looking back at the previous years and seeing that you have progressed, but also viewing the holidays in a different perspective, where we're not viewing it as something that's scary, rather we're viewing it as an opportunity to learn and grow. So if anyone, like, if you're viewing it as like, man, this is gonna be great, but I'm just gonna lose all my progress, like if you're viewing it from that perspective, it's gonna be really, really hard to prioritize movement, to do these things that you want to do. Yeah. So like I'd encourage anyone, because this has been something that's really been helpful for me, is instead just viewing it as an opportunity to figure out how you can make progress this year, whether it's one step, whether it's basically just anything, like, anyways, everything that we're talking about, like just view as an opportunity to grow and progress in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think with the movement, right, like that one specifically, I would just challenge everyone listening to commit to one walk a day, however that is. You know, whether that's outside, like I've committed to this thing where I'm pretty much like, I think it's easier because I have a dog, but I've committed to like, I'm going to walk 365, no matter what the weather is, no matter, you know, if it's light or dark out. I think it's so easy to say, oh, it's cold out now, or yeah, now it gets darker outside. And so like in my own head, I'm not giving myself that option anymore. It's no, you're going for a walk. The question is like, what do you have to wear? Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's a neon vest or whether it's heavy gloves and a hat, but you're doing it. You're going to go at some point, and then it kind of gets, it's like when the snow's down, it's just like this funny thing that like, oh, I got boots on now and I'm going, you know, but it's a thing now. It's like, I don't have a second option. Like I'm going for it. And I think I would just challenge everyone to do that, because I think one of the most important things is it's not about burning calories, right? It's not why we're saying like you have to keep moving. I think that movement is a catalyst for everything else. Mm-hmm. It drives motivation. It keeps you accountable. It's this thing that gives you energy throughout the day, where we need way more of it during the holidays with how dark out it is, right? And so I think that's an important step to just be like, if I do nothing else, I'm going to get my walk in today.
Yeah. Something that my client did that's been helpful for her is she lays out her gloves and her hat, like her beanie, right next to her door. So whenever she goes on a walk, it's just right there. She puts it on, she goes on her walk. And so that's something that's been helpful for her, is making those warm clothes available to you and easy to put on. So it's not like, oh man, now I have to go get the tub of winter clothes that's up in the closet and grab that out. Like, get that out now, so when it does come cold, it's really easy to access.
Yeah. Love that.
Third tip. So the first tip, just to kind of review, is the first tip we said setting realistic goals. Second, we said prioritize movement no matter what that looks like. And then the third one is practice mindful eating. Do you want to start off with that one?
Ooh, this is a big one. And a really, this is probably one of the hardest ones, I think, during holiday for sure. But this is, you know, we'll kind of go through like some examples, I think, but one, why is this even important? And I think we don't realize how often, even outside the holidays, how often we eat without actually being distracted. It's like almost a rare thing now, right? You're either working, you either have your phone, maybe you're eating, you know, maybe in even like the least harmful one, like maybe you're talking to people, right? But you're still distracted. And I think we have to look at like, we have literal studies that show that when people eat with distractions versus just don't eat with distractions, they eat 500 calories more a day when they are distracted, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like that's 20% more calories for the average person. So it does add up. And I think if you think about the holidays, like what are all these things that happen, right? You're at these parties all the time where there's food just and aromas in your face and everything smells good and delicious and all these foods that you haven't seen all year. You know, you get all these, like you get all these presents and a lot of it's like a, these like giant candy boxes and cookies and all these things that like you never have on your counter that all of a sudden are available all the time. Like there's never an opportunity or there's an endless amount of opportunities to eat whenever you want and super, super flavorful foods that you can eat a million amounts of and keep going. So this is one of those things that I think is so important to be aware and be able to create some kind of boundaries for yourself with food as we head into the next couple of months.
Yeah. And I think as well, I would assume, I know for some of my clients that, you know, there's definitely going to be days, especially the days where people do have big parties, they're probably not going to track. And I think that's okay for anyone who's like, I don't know if I should track or not. It's okay to take your family dinner and not track it. I would actually suggest not to. I wouldn't want someone to worry about that. Now, if they're like trying to step on stage or something like that, sure. But I don't think that's the audience that's listening to this. But especially the fact that you most likely won't be tracking multiple of the days when you have parties, this is where mindful eating comes into play. Because I know from my past experience, what the worst feeling is going into a party and feeling excited, but also like anxiety, knowing that, you know, I want to enjoy the food. And then afterwards feeling so uncomfortably full that I couldn't even remember the fun times that I had because I'm just thinking about how uncomfortable I am from all the food that I ate. And that's not a fun feeling to feel. So like, I think mindful eating comes into play so that you can, one, and actually enjoy the time that you're having with a family while also enjoying the food with it. Now, obviously, when it comes to mindful eating, like what exactly does that look like? There's a few things that you can do. And what I'd suggest is if you haven't practiced mindful eating, whether you're tracking or not tracking, you can practice mindful eating tracking too, is start practicing now. Like practice at your home. Practice every single meal, at least one meal a day. So that way, when you go into these holiday dinners, you feel prepared and you feel like, okay, I've kind of practiced it at home. So now I'm going to practice it at this outing. Now some mindful habits, just listing some off is, eating without distractions, like you said, Herman, putting your phone away. And that way, when you put your phone away, you're really thinking about the food that's on your plate. You're thinking about the textures of the food, the taste of the food, the aroma of the food, everything that the food involves. Like eating your food is an experience. Make it an experience for yourself. Another one is chewing slowly. This is one that I can't stress enough, is like really take time to chew your food. Not only does it help you enjoy that food more and really, again, savor the taste, textures, and smells, but also it's going to help you with your digestion. I know a lot of people around this time of year, they struggle with bloating and they struggle with digestion. Chewing your food slowly, being mindful about that, is going to help you feel better and also help with your digestion. And then the last one I have that I feel like has been really helpful for me too is taking a mid-meal pause, putting my fork down every few bites, but then like intentionally putting my fork down for maybe a minute or two. Sometimes I'll even like get up and go to the bathroom if I need to. And just checking in with myself, like, okay, how am I feeling? Am I, you know, 70, 80% full? If I am, can I stop? Am I still hungry? Like, anyways, just checking in with like, okay, how am I feeling? Do I really need more food? And something that I always think is that the first bite is always better than the last bite. So don't feel like you need to finish everything on your plate if you're full. Practice listening to your body and respecting that, and also be okay with, like, it's okay to throw food away. I think that's something that's also, which I think I'll bring up in another tip too, is like being okay mm-hmm. with throwing food away. Your body is not a garbage. The garbage is garbage, and you can throw away food, and that is not a problem.
Yeah. It's so hard because, you know, this is where like this whole conversation around cravings, right? And all these things come into play. I'm like a firm believer that in the next 2 months, we have no idea when we're actually hungry, you know, because like all the foods that are around are things that are kind of engineered to haywire our system and say like, hey, you got to eat meat, even though you're not hungry. And it's like this perfect combination of like sweet and salty and fatty. And, you know, there's just so many different things going around. So like, to me, there has to be like some stipulation of creating meal boundaries for yourself. And meal boundaries, like it sounds like a really, you know, scientific term, but it's like, just when are you going to eat? You know, when are you going to say like, this is the times I eat? And I don't think it has to be, I'm going to fast every morning, you know, like that's a way to do it. But I think it's saying like, I eat breakfast, I eat lunch, I eat dinner, and, you know, maybe I have a snack or two, like whatever that is for yourself. I don't think it really matters what the stipulations are, but how do you stick to that a little bit more? Because the reality is you're going to be tempted by other things all the time. You know, if you work in an office, like I know this more than anybody, there is food everywhere. And especially during the holiday, it's like people are having food days where they're bringing like dips in at 9 a.m. and donuts and all these things. You know, people have their holiday cookies laying around. They got candy everywhere. So there's no, you know, and this will probably lead us into the next point, but there's no shortage of food. And I think you have to kind of like stop and say, okay, I don't have to like completely avoid and ignore everything, but there does have to be like some kind of cutoff at some point, right?
Yeah. Something that has just like a little tip that, you know, could go with mindful eating or just like a tip in general when you're on outings, something that's helped me actually significantly and multiple of my clients is this method. I just call it the one plate method, where I grab one plate and I fill that plate however I want. There's no restriction of like, oh, you know, you can only eat the salad, you can only eat this, or you have to fill your plate with this and this and that. No, whatever's on the table, I can have whatever I want, put it on my plate. The only thing is like, you can fill it to the rims, but you just can't stack. And then when I go and sit down, like I have that one plate full of food that I'm excited to eat, full of probably everything that's there, because I like to try every single food. And then once you have that plate, being very mindful with it, you know, practicing, you know, eating slow, all that. But the whole idea behind the one plate method has been helpful for me because it made me realize like, you know, nothing here is off limits. Like as long as I can fit it on my plate, I'm totally good. Which then it helps me to really be aware of portions too. Like, okay, maybe this is more worth it than this. So I'll get a larger portion of this and a smaller portion of this. And maybe this, I'm just going to get like a little bite of it.
Yeah.
But doing that helps me so I don't have such a scarce mindset of like, oh, I can't have this or I can't have this. And what I'd say with the one plate method too is like, you know, if you are truly actually still hungry after finishing that plate, I don't want to say like, don't go back for seconds. You can totally go back for seconds. However, I would question that you're still hungry in a sense, because I think that with all the holiday foods, with everything that it's filled with, one plate should probably be enough to like fill you up.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one plate method is genius. It's funny because I actually had a conversation with a client yesterday about that exactly, because he's going to holiday party this weekend. And his family is eaters. So he's like, how do I do this? Because I have a lot of holiday parties in the next couple of months. So I think with that is part of it is, avoid either extreme where there's like one side you go, you know what, I have this like food spread tonight and I gotta bring my slow cooker with my dip and like everyone's gonna have all these things, so I gotta save my calories, right? And so people like will skip lunch, or they'll eat like a super really light lunch, and then they go in and they're like, well, this is great, 'cause like I can enjoy the food now and I have all my calories left. And what happens? Right? Like you turn into like a ravenous kitchen sink because you haven't eaten all day and you can't stop eating all of a sudden. So like completely backfires on you. And then on the flip side though, if you eat all day and you go in, you're like, I'm not touching that food. Like it's not happening. I'm not looking at it. I don't even care if I can smell it. Like I am not touching it. Well, you know, I've done this route many times. And what happens is I'm sitting there and I'm trying to talk to my friend to look them in the face, but all I'm doing is I'm just smelling the spinach and artichoke dip in the corner the whole time. And it's just like calling my name until like finally you sneak over there after like an hour or two and devour like a whole plate because, you know, you were trying to resist this so much. So I think having that middle ground of going in and like, you know, go in and before, I'd recommend, like, it doesn't have to be a full meal, but maybe you have like a meal with some protein and some veggies. Yeah. Right before you go in, a couple of things that you know are going to at least keep you a little more full, right? Get you that protein, and then go into the party, have the one plate, and enjoy it, right? Yeah. Like savor it, but then make a deal with yourself that after this, like I'm moving on. I'm going to focus on other things at the party. And to your point, I think that part of understanding, you're probably not still hungry after it's done, right? Especially because a lot of these foods are pretty heavy in salt or sugar usually. So that's probably what's making you hungry, right?
Yeah.
So drink some water first off after that, because that's going to help, you know, you might feel hungry and you're actually just thirsty. But I think having some kind of middle ground with yourself is so important to avoid the extremes.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's like just not to go into like the different types of hunger, but there definitely are different types of hunger. So after one plate, you're probably not physically hungry. You might still feel like emotionally hungry because there might be emotions around some of these foods. You might feel different types of hunger potentially. I think like what's helped me is just kind of removing myself from maybe the kitchen or from the table if possible, or at least just waiting like 15 to 20 minutes. Having a conversation with somebody, which helps, before making any decision of like, okay, I go getting more food. And, mm-hmm. and what's cool, and I kind of bring up this point again, is a lot of people, like your client, for example, sounds like he has a lot of, parties that are coming up. And what I encourage people to view is like, if you are someone who is part of a family and you have a lot of friends and you guys just have like party after party after party, what a great opportunity for you to get a ton of practice and figure out what works for you. Because, you know, we're giving you tips and tricks, but essentially it's about going in and figuring out what works for you and not going into the black or white extremes, but finding like that sweet gray area that works for you. And if you are someone that has lots of parties, sweet, you got tons of practice. And maybe you go into one party and you try the one plate method and it works for you. And then you take that method to the next party. Or maybe you do it and you're like, that didn't really work for me. And so you pivot and try something else the next time. So now going back to what you were saying of, something that you said too, is you're talking about like, you know, when you have some food and then all your mind, like you're talking with a friend and all you're focused on is like, I want more of this food. And I think this is a really great lead into our next point. Tip number four is just practicing an abundant mindset around food and realizing that artichoke spinach dip that is on the table isn't the last time it's going to be there. Like if you really want that spinach artichoke dip tomorrow, you can go make it, or you can have it, or you can ask whoever made it if you can take some left over, or the pumpkin pie or the pecan pie. Like a lot of these holiday foods, I think we tend to have a scarcity mindset around because it's like, oh, it's only here during the holiday. But if we can take more of an abundant approach from it, we can realize, yes, maybe we only really eat these around the holiday, but if I truly actually want it tomorrow, if I truly actually want it in April, like I can make it. I can have it. It's not gone forever. It's not the end of the world. we have a lot of abundant, like food is abundant.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a huge one. Cause it's, you know, again, during the holidays, like there's just so much more food around, you know, whether that's cookies sitting on your counter, whether it's, you know, maybe you got takeout one night and now it's like sitting in your fridge the next day. It's like, we always have this feeling that we have to finish whatever we get. And especially the more bad it is for you, right? Like, or not bad for you, but like the more like savory and just loaded in calories, like
the more you feel like you shouldn't eat it.
So it's like these things that you consider make you bad, right? More than anything. That's what I always think with like good food and bad food. It's not that we don't know that, you know, an apple is better for you than cake. Like, of course it is. It's more so the fact that when we eat something like that, we think we are bad, like ourselves, right? And I think that's the bigger problem. And so when we have those foods around, then it's like we have to finish them. But if you have a bunch of carrots in your fridge, or even if you have like some chicken breast in your fridge, you're never sitting there being like, well, I better finish that before it goes bad, right? Like, you're perfectly fine throwing that out. And I think just, you know, have that same sunk cost mentality with everything else, right? Like, just because you got Chinese last night and it's sitting in your fridge doesn't mean that you have to like go heat it up again and make sure that every single bite is gone, because like, I know what that feeling feels like, right? You keep going back and you're like, you start looking at it and you're kind of like, I don't even know if I want that. But I already got it, so I might as well put it in the microwave. And then you're eating it and you're like, I kind of feel gross right now, but I got to finish it, right?
Yeah. Well,
no, you don't. You know, there's plenty around. There's a million Chinese places everywhere. You can call it and they'll be there in 20 minutes. You can always get it. And so having that mentality of like, it's good. I had a taste. It tasted fine. I don't need any more. It's okay if I toss this.
Totally. I think that with practicing an abundant mindset is figuring out what satisfaction looks like for you. And maybe changing that story too is like, some people, I can only be satisfied if I have 5 cinnamon rolls, you know, or 5 of these cookies. What if you could be satisfied with 1 cinnamon roll or 1/2 a cinnamon roll or 1 cookie? Like, what could it be like if you change that story for yourself on what satisfaction looks like? And what if you could be satisfied on 1 bite or 2 bites or 1, mm-hmm. 1, yeah, like 1 cookie. So I think it's also hard because I know a lot of us grew up in like the clean plate club, you know, where your parents made you clean the plate or you had to eat all that food before you could eat something else. Which is hard and a hard thing to come out of. And I think it's something that leads to adulthood too. Like, oh, now I have to eat it, because I mean, I was hurt as a kid. You know, if you waste food, then you are, you know, think about the kids in Africa. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm an adult, I'm like, man, that's not really fair to say. Because regardless if we're wasting it, either we're wasting it by putting it in our food and making us more unhealthy or making us feel more sick, which isn't doing us any good, or we throw it in the garbage, which that's not, you know, neither of those options is helping people in Africa. So it's like, we're just going to make ourselves more sick because we're thinking about the kids in Africa. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's like it's been passed down from generations because there was a point where we didn't have food.
Yeah.
Right? And people weren't sure if they were going to eat every day. And the reality is, like, over the last 50 years, we've just made it a lot easier. It's a lot more accessible. It's everywhere, you know, and I understand there's pockets in the country still where it is harder to get food and that sucks. For the most part, for like 95% of people, it's very easy to get food. And we have to navigate that differently now, right? Like this idea of the, you know, Last Supper, Clean Plate Club, like whatever you want to call it. I feel that growing up to an extreme because, again, like my parents immigrated, we immigrated here from Belarus. So, you know, people talk about like immigrant families and everyone knows like Italians like love these giant dinners and, you know, the moms and the Greeks like always make you eat. Well, Russians aren't any different. You know, I don't know if it's just like an immigrant mentality that like, oh, we have all this food, like you got to eat. But it's like every time we go home, my mom is like, there's, if we say like, hey, we're going to get, you know, we're gonna get burgers from this place, or, you know, we're going to get Mexican or whatever, she is also getting sushi. Like, that's just, that's just the thing. Like, she loves it. And whenever she's like, oh yeah, no, I just want my sushi. I'm like, okay. Well, when she says I just want my sushi, that means she's getting sushi, but it's enough to feed the entire family.
Yeah.
Even though we all got our own meals, you know, from a different place. And then she's sitting there the whole time being like, eat, you got to eat, come on. And then like, we, like, I had to have an actual conversation with her at one point. Cause I was like, mom, you can't just leave the food on the table all night. Like, most people, like, they'll eat their dinner and then they'll put the rest of the stuff in the fridge and then let's hang out. But like, she wants the food just out on the table all night so that everyone's grazing while we're like playing games or drinking or whatever it is. And that's just the mentality, right? Like, it and she'll bring the food back out after it's been there for 2 hours. She's like, oh, we got to eat now. And it's like, no, we don't. Like, it's fine. We already ate. I'm not hungry. If you put it back out, I'm going to keep eating, right? Because it's just there. But it you have to be okay with saying, like, let's just not focus on the food.
Totally. Well, okay. I think that's a great lead point into our last tip, which you basically just said, it is expanding your focus.
Yeah.
And not just, I think it's easy to, and it's okay. It's really easy to just think about the holidays of like, oh, the holiday food and the treats and the goodies and the parties, which I think is fine to a certain extent. It's not to say that you can't be excited about the food. I'll say, I mean, I'm excited about the food. I love Thanksgiving. I love the holiday foods. It's so fun, but don't let that be your only focus. And so only also like, what are some other things that you can focus on? You can focus on relationships and building those with your family and your friends. You can focus on the spirit of the holidays, depending on what your beliefs are, you know, Christmas and Christ and all that. You can focus on what you're grateful for during Thanksgiving. So expanding your focus and not making it only about food, but also realizing it's still okay. Like, it's okay to be excited about food, but don't let that be your only focus.
Yeah. Yeah. One, I have to say, I hate to admit this on air, but I do not like Thanksgiving food.
Oh, I might need to stop this podcast right now and end it. Holy,
like, there's pieces of it. Like, look, mashed potatoes are great.
Yeah.
I think cornbread is great, but like the idea of turkey, like just turkey, it's I just wish it was something else. Like, there's so many other things I wish it was.
Yeah.
That I think would make it better. That,
okay, like, what would be better? Like a nice tri-tip.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or like when people do like ham. I like that.
Yeah.
You know,
some people do ham during Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's aspect of it, but just like the, I don't know, celebrating like turkey breast. I just don't get that excited for. But back to the point.
If people are still listening, back to the point.
I think I'd be interested to hear. I think people are divided on this one more than you think.
I could actually agree with you. I think people would be divided too.
Yeah. But I think this is such an important one. And I go back to this client that I was talking with yesterday, and he was going to these parties, right? And his question was, and you know, he's newer, so like he's trying to lose some weight, and he wants to, you know, make sure that he's changing his habits along the way so it's sustainable. And his question's like, as I go to these parties, like, my family's not, they do not prioritize that. Like, they don't care. And what do I do? Right? Like, everything's around food. There's drinks everywhere. And you know, part of the, you know, the first thing I asked was, okay, well, they might not care about this, but do they care about you? And he's like, well, yeah, of course. So I'm pretty sure the first thing you got to do is just tell them, right? Tell them what your goals are. Tell them that you're working on this. And if they care about you and they're your family and they love you, then I'm sure they're going to be willing to help you out. Right. So I think part of it is like, don't go into this thing just assuming, well, I just got to do what everybody else does. Right. Yeah. I just posted this earlier today. Like, we're in this weird spot in society where it's weird not to eat the cookies that are sitting on the table. right? It's weird to go for a walk in the morning before you eat Thanksgiving, right? Like all these things that to prioritize your health at all is now weird compared to what most other people do. So like part of it is you kind of have to break out of this, like the next 2 months are only about food and drinks. Because yeah. we kind of made it that. So it's like food, drinks, and then we give people presents, right? And the reality is like we kind of forgot what it's actually about. Like, you know, whether if you're spiritual, right, there's a lot of meaning over Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is over the next couple of months. If not, with people in general, right? Like this is the time that we're supposed to be celebrating, seeing people that, and a lot of times we haven't seen people all year that we're yeah. going to see over the next couple of months, right? And so if you stop and think about it, it's like, I haven't seen my cousin since, what is that, February? Whoa, I haven't seen them since February. And I'm sitting here just thinking and smelling the cheese board all night, right? Versus going and talking to them and having yeah. a conversation with them. And so I think part of it is just like, remember what this time's about and get back to some of those pieces that really matter. And I think that makes it much easier to not be so focused on the food and the drinks as much.
Yeah. Something that I do sometimes, and I've done myself, and I've also, some of my clients have done too, is if they go to a party and, or something along those lines where a lot of people are going to be there, if they're worried about being food focused, to help shift that focus, I always, something that I've done is like, think of one person that you know is going to be at that party that you would like to become closer with and make the goal to conversate with them and to focus on, you know, more about them and how you can grow your relationship with them. So if that's something that helps you, like to have, like pick one, if it helps to have two or three people, so you're not just around one person the whole time, like pick one to three people or one to five people specifically that you want to become closer with, and then make the goal to talk to them more and to get to know them and to maybe figure out what their favorite color is or figure mm-hmm. out what they like to do for fun. And so that way you're focusing more on the people and the relationships and taking less of the focus off of food. And, something I was going to say, this is a second thought, kind of aside from what I had just said. But just wanted to mention this because I think that kind of thinking about your client who might tell their family about their goals, or, you know, if you ever have to stand up for yourself or like, hey, I don't want to eat this, and someone's trying to pressure you, like, no, you got to eat this. My thought around that is the person who's pressuring you to eat something is usually pressuring you to make them feel better about eating it. And so I think this is a great time to also practice like getting out of the people pleasing, which is something that I've always struggled with. Like, I'm also saying this for myself, because when someone pressures me, I'm just like, just to make them happy and to make them satisfied, I'm just going to eat this or try it. Where there's also a part of me that's like, well, I'm also satisfying their needs. Like they're probably doing this because it's just to make them feel better. Like they usually, maybe there's something insecurity that they have of like, I yeah. feel bad that I'm eating this, so I want Sarah to eat this too so that I can feel better about myself. But we don't need to fall into those things. Like you have your autonomy, you have your choice. You can like work on respecting yourself as well.
Yeah. And try to do it without insecurity as much as possible. And when I say that, what I mean is like, don't be the guy that shames everybody else.
For sure.
Because they don't want to do it, right? Because at the same way that if you want them to respect your goals and your beliefs and what you're doing, you got to respect that they're not focused on that. And that's yeah. okay. It's not your prerogative, right? And so I think that's part of it is if you're going to do this, like lead by example.
Yeah.
Right. And people will see it and maybe it'll rub off on them and maybe they'll come up to you and say like, hey, I saw, you know, you're looking a lot better. You're looking a lot leaner. And like, what have you been doing? But, you know, doing the opposite where it's just kind of like, you're the one that's not touching any of the dips and you're the one that's not eating any of the cookies and, I got to leave early because I got to go work out in the morning. I think sometimes it gets lost because I think, you know, it doesn't help to shame everybody else. And then two, like you're kind of losing that last piece that we just talked yeah. about, right? Is making those connections with those people, which is the important part in the first place too.
Do you know what's interesting, Herman, is this is actually something that I've really struggled with and I'm still currently working on, is when I make something, I want people to try it because part of me is like, I want everybody to try it. And when someone doesn't want to try it, I have to work on two things I have to work on. I have to work on one, I don't need everybody to try it. I don't need to pressure people to try this. And two, I need to respect if people don't want to try it. And that's okay. It doesn't mean anything about me. And then also there's another part where it's like, I know this is something that I feel like I've improved on, but I know it still comes up for me is if I have a dish, I don't want to have leftovers and I don't want to take it home. And I'm still working on like my mindset around wasting food. And so I'll try and pressure people to eat it. Like, hey, you got to try this. It's really good. Have you tried this yet? Have you tried this yet? Have you tried this yet? Take one, take one. It's just a little bit. So I don't have to take any home or I don't have to have leftovers. Where I think something that I'm also working on is not pressuring people to eat it, being okay if there are leftovers, and then also being okay if I want to throw them away. Like I also don't have to eat those leftovers. So I love that you said that because I think that if you don't want someone pressuring you to eat something, because I hate being in that situation where I'm like, I really don't want this, but I feel pressured. You got to be that person first, is not pressuring someone to eat your food or not pressuring someone to finish off your plate or anything like that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
100%. And I think with that in general is like, as hard as it is, try as much as you can to just see other perspectives during the holidays, right? Because we're all coming in from different places. We had different days. We had different years. Like a lot of shit has happened in people's lives over the last 10 months, you know, that you probably haven't seen in a while. And I think it's all culminating in this like 2-hour interaction you're having with somebody. And you're seeing there being like, oh, well, why are they just standing around the dip and eating it all night? Right. Or why are they not talking to me? You know, and oh, so-and-so is getting hammered over there. Like, oh, I wonder what it's like to be them. And it's like, you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on in anyone's life truly, unless you like actually talk to them every single day. And even then you might not know entirely. So I think just have a little bit of empathy during these times, because as fun as the holidays are, as awesome as it is to connect with a lot of people, it's also a really, really hard time for a lot of people because, you know, whether they're lonely during these couple months, cause they don't see a lot of people, or whether they're lonely the rest of the year. And this just reminds them of how amazing everybody else's life is, right? Especially in the social media world. I think it's just, you know, we can just do a little bit of a better job not always believing that like our answer is the only right answer. And so I think to that point is like, and I'm just as guilty as you are on doing these things, is I'll go into these parties and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't need to drink as much as everybody else. And I don't need to eat that food. Right. And it could put me in a place where I'm kind of like, oh, I'm above that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like, what is that? Better than them.
Exactly. And what does that do? Nothing. Yeah. Right. So part of it's just like, just be more genuinely curious in that person's life that you allegedly care about. Right. And I think when you do that and you kind of take it away from like, it's, what is it about me and what are my goals and these things? And you turn it into like, I just want to find out more about you, right? We haven't seen each other in a while. Yeah. And it's much easier to not think about these things because you're actually focused on something else.
Yeah. It's the idea behind like, focus on how they're doing, not what they're doing. And in the case of a holiday, like focus on exactly what you're saying, how they're doing, not what they're putting on their plate, what they're drinking, how much they're drinking, what they've done while they've been here. Like, just focus on how they're doing. And I'm assuming the same goes. That's probably what you'd want someone to focus on for you. You don't want someone looking at your plate and judging what you got. So if you don't want that either, don't do it either.
Love that. I love that.
Cool. Well, going over the five tips just as a review. So for anyone who, obviously, I feel like we go all over the place sometimes. So if the five tips weren't clear, they were these. It was 1, set realistic goals. 2, prioritize movement no matter what it looks like. 3, practice mindful eating. 4, practice an abundant mindset around food. And 5, expanding your focus. I think some of these tips are probably ones that you probably weren't expecting or probably haven't heard very often. And I hope that's a benefit to you. And I really challenge everybody to take advantage and use this holiday as an opportunity to change your story, to change your perspective, and practice new ways of thinking.
Love it.
Cool. Anything else you want to say?
No. I think you nailed it.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Obviously, if you could help Herman and I out and share this podcast, if you found it helpful, share it to your stories and tag us, and we will reshare it. We really, honestly, those are really appreciated. I'm just called you Hunter again. Herman and I are Herman and I are growing our podcast. So honestly, rating, reviews, sharing the podcast with family and friends, especially to your social media, all that stuff helps more than you know it. So it'd be the best holiday gift ever.
Yeah. And reach out to us. Let us know that you found it helpful. That's like the best message I can get in the world is when someone messages you and say, hey, I listened to the podcast and it's just helped me with my mindset so much. Like that's like why we're doing this. As fun as it is to talk to each other, you know, this is for you guys. So let us know. I'm always happy to chat.
And for those who have already DM'd us, thank you. Like, thank you. Those messages really, I second that, Herman. Those messages really do mean a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Have a good holiday, everybody. Talk to you later, Herman.
Bye, guys.